Okay, we're back for another episode of Passion, Purpose, and Possibilities, where I talk to my guests about their stories of transformation and how they found their path to purpose. And my guest today is Steve Ramona, and Steve is a next level super connector, creating $1 billion in project impact and $125 million in partner deals, one personalized introduction at a time. His signature approach? Custom video intros that make every connection personal, purposeful, and profitable. As host of the Top 20 Doing Business with a Servant's Heart podcast, now over 800 episodes strong and reaching 50,000 plus listeners per show, Steve is a guiding voice in heart-led business growth. He also leads Together We Serve on E360 TV, where 1.6 million viewers tune in monthly to hear transformational stories from purpose-driven leaders. Steve isn't just building networks. He's building a movement of meaningful collaboration and lasting impact. Welcome to the podcast, Steve.
Candace, thank you. And thank you for that wonderful introduction.
I know there's a lot more we could say about you because you're doing so many things, but you are leading with a servant's heart. And we're going to talk all about that. But I would love for you to share your backstory, because you weren't always in this space. You were doing something different. And, you know, a big part of this podcast is the transformation story, how we're inspiring others to go do the thing that they really want to do and not just kind of resting on their laurels and doing the thing they should be doing, think they should be doing. So give us the deal. What's the backstory?
Well, I've been blessed, Candace, and thank you again for having me on. It started, uniquely enough, at 19, 18 years old when I left high school. Got done playing football and all the sports, and I needed a job because I wanted to go to the beach. And my family had launched a health club about a year before. So my cousin, who was the president, said, why don't you come work at the front desk and make some money? Well, that led to 22 years of working there, becoming director of operations. I just stayed on. But what I learned that organically came to me was, well, when you're checking people in, it's, hey, Candace, have a great workout. Candace, have a great day. And those conversations become, hey, Candace, how's the vacation? Candace, hey, did your daughter get married? Hey, Joe, did you get that big deal? You start developing friendships. And I'm not talking two or three people. I've talked in thousands. We had probably 3,000 or 4,000 people come in. I probably engaged with 1,000 people a day.
And that's a lot.
Different people. And it was just, I didn't realize, I'm 19 years old, just meet people. My cousin said, just cut, serve them, take care of them, get them towels. A tip was, we always told the staff, say people's names when they come and leave. They're like, well, I don't remember everybody coming. 3,000 people, that's a lot of people. Well, cheat, look at the computer screen. Say, run their card, go, hey, Tony, have a great day. They don't care less, and I learned this, as a great tip artist. They don't care if you remember or not. Ask them, yeah, I met you a couple months ago. What's your name again? Oh, Jim, you know what? I never get upset with that, and people shouldn't. The action of asking. So all this time, I'm meeting all these people, and a funny joke, Candace, and you're going to love this. People walked up to me about 25 when I was working there going, man, if you ever got married, you're going to have to rent the 49er football stadium because you know so many people. Because I'd go out to a restaurant. Hey, there's the Royal Quartz. Our club was Royal. There's Steve from Royal Quartz. Hey, there's Steve from Royal Quartz. My friends were like, everybody. To this day, it still happens because of all the people I met. But this one guy taught me serving that I never could believe. He walks in. His name's Tony, a little Italian guy who's a financial advisor. He throws a book at me, tosses it, and goes, kid, read that book. Next Tuesday when I come in, I'm coming back for vacation, I'm going to ask you about the book. It was The Wealthy Barber. Short book. I'm 19, 20 years old. I read it. He comes in. He goes, you read it? Yeah. Good kid. What'd you learn? Take 10% of my income and put it away. Don't touch it. Now, Candace, that's $2.50 minimum wage. 1979, 1980. And I say that because years go by. I don't look at it. I don't touch it. And I happen to look at it when I was 28, 29 years old, and there was $68,000 in that account. Well, in 1985, that was a lot of money. I just thought I won the lottery. I don't even think the lottery was out then. Maybe it was. I don't know. But here's what I learned. I called Tony because I still was connected. I had a lot of guys' phone numbers that I became friends with. and said, Tony, I just looked at the account for $68,000. I want to pay you. That was your job. He says, no, Ken. Still called me Ken. He said, here's the deal. Because you took my advice, I served you. I won some more doors open somewhere else for me. And that's why I'm a multimillionaire. My company was one of the biggest companies because I had all these great people coming in. These doors were opening. So no, I'm not going to take the money. But I'm glad you took it. I'm glad you didn't touch it. Of course, I get off the phone. I spent $8,000 that week or something going crazy. I didn't spend it all. But being a 28-year-old, but Candace, what I learned was when you serve, there's reciprocity. When you give, you get. Give, you get. I was received, and he received somewhere else. I didn't do it, but because I took the action, I learned all about doing business with a servant's heart.
Yeah, what a great story. I love that. I love that. So you were continuing to build businesses or build your relationships with these people from the club. And at some point, you decided to do something different. And so what was that?
So 2000, we sold. It was 22 years. When you work health clubs, you work Thanksgiving, you work Christmas, we have to close, we have remodeling because you don't want to do it when you're open 24/7 or 24 hours, 7 days a week. So we looked at each other, me and my cousin, and said, it's time. These guys are giving us a great deal. Let's sell. So I sat around for 6 months because I didn't have a resume. My resume was 18 to 40 years old, was worked at a health club. I didn't have a lot of fuss thinking about going back to school, which I did. But one of the members, again, building that network, which we've talked about, Jim reached out, goes, hey, I'm starting a restaurant. You want to come work at my restaurant? I'm like, dude, I don't know nothing about a restaurant. I remember sitting in a restaurant with him that we used to go to. And I said, I don't know. He goes, I'll teach you everything. Here's the cool thing. And I'm glad you asked this question. You're so darn smart, Candace. Is we opened the restaurant. What did I do? I reached out to everybody from the health club. Hey, guys, I'm at a restaurant. Come visit me. Mm-hmm. 6 months later, we're the busiest restaurant on the street, making buku money, packed. That's the power of serving, value, purpose. Because my purpose was to help people. And look what happened. It came back. I made a lot of money. He made a lot of money. And people were happy. They'd sit down and it was a great setup because I could cook. I learned to cook and sat right at the counter. And I get to talk to them like I was walking around in the gym. And now I'm at a restaurant. My family would come in. And it was brilliant. We quit 3 years later. He closed it. He didn't want to do it anymore. But then I started a recycling company. Guess what happened? Okay. My family from the restaurant, my family from the health club. Hey, I had $250,000, $300,000 in 6 months in that company, in the bank account. I'm waking up every morning. What the heck is happening? This is way cool. And I'm helping people because I'm getting rid of that recycling electronics. It was affecting our landfills and things like that. So I also had a social impact. And I realized there's a lot of power in building these connections. And went back to school and decided, no, I'm going to start this recycling company. And I'm like, so I've been telling people since then, since after the restaurant, here's how you grow. Just meet people and uplift them. Serve them.
Yes. So I was thinking with the restaurant, food is that one common thing too that we all love. And how can you not like have great conversations around food? So I love that. But it also made me think about something that my dad once said to me, right? And that was, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. It's not like taking advantage of people, but it is about building relationships and communicating with people and going in with the thought that you just want to get to know somebody with no agenda. Once you get to know them and know what they're all about, and then the conversation hopefully goes back and forth and they're learning about what you're all about, then you can build this bigger connection and relationship. And maybe it is something that goes somewhere else, but also maybe it is that person connects you to somebody else or you connect them to somebody else. And that is what it's all about.
You know I do most people. There's rarely a time I can't help somebody when I want to, because that's my purpose. But two, it's just the resources I have. And you're like, well, Steve, I don't know how I can help you. You've got all this great show and stuff. And you mentioned you'd help me by inviting me and be on your podcast. There's always a way. I mean, when I go to church on Sundays and I'll high five a kid and he walks away smiling, and the parent is they're on cloud nine because somebody saw their child in a positive way. Sometimes it's just a high five or a smile that you could change somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the shoes they're walking in. And we don't want to ask, hey, Candace, did you have a bad day? I don't want to hear that. But go out and be proactive in your serving and uplifting people. I've had many opportunities. Oh, let me tell you a quick story. Can I tell you a quick story?
Sure, absolutely.
It's a perfect story what happens. So people come to me all the time. What happens if you're having a bad day? Things aren't happening. I say, go serve. Like, oh, yeah. Go knock on the soup kitchen. Go call your best friend you haven't talked to in a while. Call your mom, whatever that is. That's serving to me. That's making people be seen. So same thing happened to me. Bad day, 2 o'clock, contract didn't get signed, 2 meetings didn't show, 1 I really needed to meet. And I'm like, I don't walk away from my office. So I said, I got to take my own advice. Like the shoe cobbler, if it's your own shoes, I think they're right. Mm-hmm. So I go to the grocery store to get groceries and I'm standing in line. It's slow. And lady in front of me has a baby. And I'm like, you know what? I'm a faith guy. I had a calling from the Holy Spirit that I'm just going to buy her groceries. We hear this Starbucks thing, which is really cool. So I asked the guy, the clerk, can I buy his groceries? He's like, he's a surfer guy, long hair. You could drop the lawnmower in. Cool guy. I've seen him all the time. Dude, what do you, don't buy people. Dude. I said, here's my card. Just do it. It's $30 for it. It didn't matter. So that's when things start getting a little crazy in a great way. So she said, no. I said, let me just do it. She says, okay. So we're walking out after I take my groceries and she starts tearing up and I start getting worried. Debbie, her name was Debbie. Debbie, I am so sorry. I didn't want to upset you. It was just, I have faith and this and that. She goes, no, that's not the reason. I'm so happy. I said, well, I'm glad you're happy because Steve, you don't realize my husband just lost his job last week. I don't get to pay for the diapers and for the, I think it was milk and a couple of things. We're pulling out of nowhere to pay for this. We'd have nothing left. You gave us another week of diapers. Yeah. She stopped, calms down. And I hugged her and I said, no, yes. And what's she going to do when she goes home? Candace, she's going to tell her husband, this guy, Steve, maybe I'm crazy. It doesn't matter what they label me. It's the act. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to take, most of the time people are going to go, we got to do something to somebody else. That pay it forward thing. That's the biggest lesson. It's great that I did that. But when we just serve, it doesn't have to be buying somebody something. That smile, they could be going through a divorce and going, I've had a terrible day and my husband's chasing me. And you smile and say, you look great today. A simple 10-second act could change people's lives.
Oh my gosh. I love this. And oh my God, we're more than ever, we need this. Because people, they're walking around angry. They're walking around upset all the time. And if we all just stopped for a moment and put ourselves in somebody else's shoes, just maybe it's not somebody specific, but just set an instance like, oh, I'm in a grocery store and I see a whole bunch of people and I'm just looking around and I'm like, oh, well, I wonder what's going on with this person and that person and the next person. It changes the whole dynamic of everything.
Yeah, it is. Of course, that was 5, 6, 7 years ago, probably 6, 7 years. I still remember it. One, because I want to share it with people because we don't know most of the time when we serve that we're what we've done. And that's just the life. Just have faith.
Right.
This is not a scoreboard. If you're out there a sports person, yeah, scoreboards are for sports. Mm-hmm. To see who wins and loses. Take that out of the equation. Just take action. And there's a video out there, an audience you can look for it. Somebody sent me a couple weeks ago. It's a meme, a joke video where this guy drove to a fast food restaurant and ordered $600 worth of food for the guy behind him.
Oh, my gosh.
To pay for it. The guy comes up and he drives around because what he was doing was, I'm going to do that. And when I come up the line, that guy, I'm going to order $800 worth of food. It's all a joke.
Right.
But what it taught me was we got to be careful with serving.
Mm-hmm.
serving people is not telling them what to do. And I used to be like that. I'm going to tell your audience, I was terrible. I had no self-esteem. Amazing I say this now. Self-aware, all that judgmental. Because I always thought if I made a mistake, people wouldn't like me. Because I kind of grew up with that. But you know what? I tell people, I tell a guy yesterday, he's 32 years old. I've made these mistakes. He goes, no, let me help you. I'm 64. He helped me. He gave me a couple things like, when you get nervous, wiggle your toes. This guy flew for the royal family for years. Wow. And he was flying into the clouds and he wiggled his toes to calm him down because he was freaking out because he knew I was going to land a plane. And that's why I love podcasting. But we should always be learning. ABL, always be learning.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It also made me think too, and just, this is just a timing thing here. So I was telling you before we started recording this episode that yesterday was the launch of the Passion, Purpose, and Possibilities book, right? And so I became so overwhelmed with gratitude for all the support I received from everybody and all the other 20 authors that are in the book, all their networks and support to help us reach a number one international bestseller. And like, that is another huge way of how people, that's just a little thing, like a 99-cent Kindle purchase brought that much impact. And so it is the little things that you can do to change somebody's life in the moment. And maybe it's in a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. And that story is a great story because why were those people involved with you? Why did they co-write with you? Because you built relationships. Mm-hmm. You built a connection, a network. To go, hey, guys and girls, I'm writing a book. Could you? I'm sure a lot of them said to you, Candace, because I know you pretty well. Absolutely. How can I help? Because you do it the right way. And it's less fearful.
Yes. Yeah. So can you give us some of your best tips when it comes to business?
Oh, I got a ton of them. I've learned a lot. Ego. You all have an ego. Empowering greater outcomes. Mark Hunter, one of the top sales guys in the world, told me on a podcast. I obviously never forgot. It was last year. Live that. Here's the other thing that I've developed. It's called the ASLA principle. A-S-L-A. Ask, shut up, listen, and ask again. Now, you want to grow your network? That's how you do it. You want to grow your business? That's how you do it. You want to grow your income? That's how you do it. See how income was last?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not the purpose. And here's how it goes. I meet Candace, and you can have questions written down already if you want, if you don't know. I know on the top, I've done thousands of these meetings, and I'll go, so what do you do, Candace? And you'll go and do this, this, and this, and tell your story, what you do. And hey, what are your challenges, Candace? Well, I'm trying to find more people. Oh, interesting. Like this, in 3 to 5 minutes, I know everything about the person. Plus, I'm asking questions. People love questions to be asked. They love to talk about themselves. So you ask, and the shut up and listen is, that's that bridge that people miss. And I've done this. Candace, you've done this. We're human. Mm-hmm. We shut up, and we're thinking about lunch. Oh, what am I going to have for lunch? What did she just say? Oh, I've got to pick up my son at school. I don't know what they just said. Human. But if you can keep that bridge together of shutting up and listening, and active listening is a better word too, if you want to use it. But then you ask questions. What are you doing? You're building a relationship. What do you do when you go on your first date with your husband, your wife, like I did? I have a picture up of our first date. We were there for 2 or 3 hours. We had known each other before and we reconnected. We were asking, well, what are you doing? How did you do that? We were asking questions to get to know each other, to build a relationship, to see if we want to go even further, which we did. And 8, 10 years later, we got married and we're together now and so in love. But that's how business should be. Business and life really mend together that way. Ask those questions and don't be afraid. And if you're an introvert, which I've talked to a lot of them, like, I'm an introvert. Well, you're number one on my list. You're the best. They're like, what? Because you ask a question, you want to shut up. You don't want to talk a lot. I'm a talker. I got a lot of energy. I always thought it was a bad thing. Actually, I'm finding out it's a great thing. It's not going to resonate with everybody. And it doesn't matter if I have one or two, 10 or 50, 100 people I can connect with and impact them. It's great. But introverts out there, if you're listening, I know there's a lot of you out there, just build those questions out and change the questions up and just have questions, because we're all smart enough humans that you say, I am a business coach and I'm struggling to find people. I'm looking for CPAs. What do you do right away? You know what? I know Tony, he's a CPA. Let me see if I can connect you. Can't do that if I don't ask questions. I don't know anything about you.
So it made me think of something else, because if it's on the reverse side and you're an introvert, right? It's easy for like the extrovert to ask the questions, but it might be difficult for the introvert to keep the conversation going. So what would you say to that?
You're brilliant. Oh my God. I didn't even think about that. I'm always thinking that that's even better, because you can ask questions. Don't ask yes or no questions. Don't go, hey, Candace, do you wear glasses? Yes. I mean, don't, because that doesn't get you. Get like challenge. What are your challenges? What are you passionate about? I see you wrote a book and it launched yesterday. What are you so excited about the book so far? You're going to get introverts open up like a volcano. It's going to be an eruption. I've seen it happen so many times and get done. And I've helped them because I've learned, hey, here's a tip. Here's a resource. Here's an introduction. I get this all the time. And audience, you can do the same thing. I'm nothing special. I'm special because I take action. That's one of the best one-on-one meetings I've ever had. You've given me so much. Of course, they want to give back. And most of the time they can't, because I work with multimillionaires. And that's okay. I'd never complain about that, because here's why. I built a relationship. I've got a new person in my network. Guess what happens when they run into a 100 person with $100 million? You got to meet this great guy, Steve. Oh my God, he can... You guys just need to meet. And voila, I've got a new connection, even though she doesn't think she has one or he doesn't have one.
Right, right. Oh my God, I love that. I love that. So now when it comes to sustaining a relationship, a business relationship, what's your best advice there?
Follow up. And we all hear follow up, but it's the value you bring. So that initial meeting is really big, because I got an email 5 weeks ago, Candace. I haven't talked to this lady in a year. So I look back, I was curious. It was March this year. It was March of last year, our very first meeting. We've never talked or met, no email, no communication at all. And she sends me an email for an introduction.
Yeah.
So I think that initial is really important. Again, it's not going to be everybody. Follow up, staying connected, find a system to do that is powerful. But keep that inner circle. I had a guy on my podcast yesterday that he's very successful. We're like brothers. We've only met 3 times virtually, but we're aligned. And we know if we meet 6 months later, we're going to have the same passion and energy to talk. Hey, what's going on? So follow up, how much time frame? That's up to you. If you're trying to grow a business, trying to grow, which a lot of people are, you want to do that fairly monthly. The other thing you can do is, I got another great business tip. You want another one?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I got so many of them. So I learned way back from this gentleman, young guy, he's 25, 26, so about 5 years ago, I met with him through a connection. And he's telling me about his flipping home business, and he was so excited about it. I said, I think his name was Jim. It was Jim. I said, Jim, I never asked this because it doesn't matter to me, but how are you doing with this business financially? He goes, that's funny you asked. This month I just hit $1 million. I went, what? I earned $1 million in revenue this month. I said, if you don't mind, can you tell me your secret sauce? And I don't want your McDonald's secret sauce. I want the real secret sauce. He laughed. He goes, I went to my phone, his contact list, he had 1,000 people. He reached out to them and said, hey, a quick question. Now me and my partner, business partner, Josh, came up with this. In the subject of the email, quick question, do you know people interested in flipping a home? I'd love an intro. Now, our contact list are people who like us, love us, are warm people because we've met them before. They're on your phone for a reason. They're more apt to help you out because they want to. 3 things happen. 1, they ghost you. and that's fine. Two, I do. Oh my God, my cousin was just talking about flipping homes. Let me connect you. Three, no, but what are you doing now, Jim? Oh, I've got this new course in flipping homes. I'm helping so many people make money. Well, can I learn? Here's what I found. 100 entrepreneurs I interviewed, over 80% of them, nobody in their contact list knew what they were doing.
Oh, wow.
And those are all potential buyers of your book. Ding, ding, ding. Mm-hmm. Or whatever you do. And here's the thing. You want to, I don't want to use the word pitch, but you want to transact through them. Meaning, Candace, you need to come by my flipping program because you're broke. Candace, do you know anybody that you can help me with to help me with my, in this case, flipping course program? People respond to that so much better.
Right.
And then you do that constantly, every quarter, every month. That's the way to stay connected with your people, is follow up. Maybe next time it's you're looking for plumbers. Maybe next time you're looking for people making $1 million more a year. Whatever that is, just keep popping those emails out. Tell you how I know it works. I took 5,000 of my contact list, the contact list on my phone, that when I said I realized, and I sent them all, hey, I've launched a podcast. I've launched a newsletter. I'd love for you to subscribe. 3,800 people subscribed to my newsletter in a week.
That's amazing.
Bunch of them subscribed to my podcast. Now I've been watching my podcast for months because I reached out. Not all of them, 1,200 didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Love them. We'll hug them when I see them. It doesn't matter. But here's an opportunity. So keep following up. Keep staying connected with opportunities. And it's not always about making money. I'm doing a free workshop, podcast workshop in October. All right, I just finished. I'm doing one in November. Anybody want to come to my free podcast workshop mm-hmm. and send that email out. What do you podcast? Again, it draws that curiosity. Be curious, not judgmental. Ted Lasso. It's right here on my wall. You can't see it.
Ted Lasso philosophy.
Amen. It's simple, sweet, and it works. So those are some of the ways you get. And by the way, you go back on your calendar. Go back 6 months. Oh, Candace, yes. Steve, no. Jim, no. Oh, Debbie, yes. Haley, yes. And go back and do the same follow-up. Hey, it's been a while. Can you help me? I'm looking for this. I get them all the time because I'm telling people to do it. And I guess other people are telling people to do it. And it just builds. What's a rare word to use? Being seen. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what, Steve? I just met with a guy last week. We haven't talked in a while. David Slimer. Shout out to David. Wonderful guy. We jump right in. He's one of those guys that, man, we could be gone for 6 months. And we had the greatest meeting. I helped him out. He helped me out. We talked about some things. We're going to try to visit him in Utah. So if you built that base of a great first meeting, you could be a month. It could be 6 months. It could be 7 months. You need to figure that out. But the people that are really good in your circle, stay connected with them.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Such good tips. And a lot of them are, we should know this too, but sometimes it just takes hearing it from somebody else or the reminder of it. Because if you haven't done something in a while to say, oh yeah, I was doing that, but you know, I haven't really been focusing on that. So maybe I should take that up again. And yeah. That's what I love about this conversation. Now, since you mentioned your podcast workshop, you know, you have a very successful podcast. You've been obviously doing this for quite a while to have this many shows, plus TV. What do you love the most about it?
There's two things. One, I get to meet incredible people like you.
Thank you.
That changed my world. I mean, seriously. And maybe I shouldn't use that word because people go, oh my God, did he go from 10,000 to a million? Change could be as little as you motivated me to do more podcasts. You did. When I met you, I'm like, she's starting out. She's building this. That's why I love podcasting. You just motivated me to do that. And oh my God, it's so rewarding. But here's the other thing. And I think everybody should have podcasts and it's okay if they don't. But I was diagnosed with diabetes in May. I have lost friends to diabetes. It freaked me out. My wife was a little bit worried about me mentally. I'm on drugs. And I'm like, oh, I changed my eating. But my chiropractor, I've been with 20 years. I walk in and tell him, get diagnosed with diabetes. He goes, don't worry about it. Again, that he's like a brother to me. And the next week I came in, he throws a book at me. He goes, read this book, Eat, Stop, Eat. It's all about fasting and how God works. 2 days later, I had a guest on my podcast, just met for the first time, Eric Collette, now become a very good friend. And he goes, yes, here's a couple other things you can do. Read that book. Fasting's really good. Here's how to help you get through it and all that. So major support. In 3 to 3.5 months, I'm off all my medicine. I've lost 45 pounds.
That's awesome.
I've been trying to lose weight for 10 years. I'm a fitness guy. It was all about food and the struggles people have. If I didn't build relations with my chiropractor, if I didn't build a relationship with Eric doing that podcast, because I asked him after, I said, man, I feel really connected. Can I ask you a personal question? He goes, absolutely. And of course, he served me. And we're meeting again tomorrow just to follow up to see how I'm doing, how he can help me even more. When you get to do that and have guests do that for you, and you get to hear their stories, like Serena, 5 to 7, she was 5, her sister was 7. Her mom and stepdad abused her sexually for years. Oh, goes to foster home, becomes an adult, launches a marketing company. Her husband becomes her president. They're super excited. They're growing. Business is rocking and rolling. He dies by suicide 6 months into the business.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, every time I talk, like my throat drops, my heart drops. We don't have to go through that. We're so blessed. But here's the power of that. During the show, I said, how's your mom? And she says, Steve, we've reconciled. She's my best friend. And I stopped. How did you do that? She goes, Steve, my mom was a different person, went through all that. And it's like, I'm worried about somebody didn't sign a contract. Yeah, money's good. I'm worried because I woke up 5 minutes late. I'm worried because somebody said no to me. I'm worried because somebody hates me. I'm worried because I didn't finish my book today. I was supposed to be yesterday. I'm worried I didn't get that chat. We worry about so much. And when I hear these stories, Alfonso James in jail for 32 years of crime, he never did at 17 years old, gets out at 49. And I said, again, I know I'm emotional show. That's why I love these shows.
I know, right?
I said, it's powerful. You're a podcaster. Yeah. And I said, I don't know if I could be as grateful as you are. How the heck are you so grateful? I have a lot of faith. I hope I would be. I think I would be. He says, Steve, here's what you got. Here's what I see. I wake up in the morning. I think it's once a week or twice a week. He's in Wisconsin and drives down to the lake by himself, sits on the bench. He watches the sunrise. The birds are flying by chirping. That beautiful noise of nature, and the water just rolling. I missed that for 32 years. It's magnifying for me. The little things matter. And to this day, I've told that story hundreds of times. And when I tell it, it just reminds us those things that we worry about and not worry.
I felt that both stories you just shared, like I got the chill and the racing heart kind of feeling, because I feel for these people. I really feel for these people strongly. And here on this podcast, I've always tried to use it somewhat as a platform to promote mental health and suicide prevention. And so then it even tugs more at me because, you know, that story. But we do have to put things in perspective, because we do stress about some of the stupidest things, right? And forgiveness, though, but forgiveness is really hard. I've had a couple grief counselors on the podcast, and then I've had somebody else who just specializes in forgiveness. And I cannot tell you how much I've learned from all of them.
It's such a blessing. And I learned this a long time ago. This was probably right after the recycling company. I had gone back to JC at 40s to go back to school again. I look back, you did some crazy stuff. Just sitting around 18, 19, 20 year old, because I've got that energy and it was a good fit. But I remember driving at the time, my girlfriend was breaking up with me. My dad was in the hospital. Wasn't going to be serious, but I was a little worried about it. And I drove to a stoplight. I look to my left, and there's a guy in a wheelchair waiting at the bus stop. No legs. I'll never forget it. I literally took my hand, I slapped myself. Probably don't do this, audience. Probably not a good idea, but I'm like, and I said out loud, Steve, you're stupid. No, wait, you're not stupid. Why you have this thinking this way? You'll get another girlfriend. Something will happen. It's just a girlfriend. That guy will never walk again. You want no girlfriend? Your dad's in the hospital, he'll recover, or not walk again. I almost pulled around and talked to him, but it hit me like a time. Obviously, that was 28 years ago. Mm-hmm. I still remember it because we're human. We're fallible. We're going to think like that. And I've done it after that. I'm like, oh. Then I think about that story. Meeting the guy in the wheelchair, or I see people in the wheelchair. I was at a reunion. I mean, I got a lot. You got me fired up right now.
That's so good.
I was at my wife's, because we don't see the good stuff. We talked about it before the show. These good stories are not around. So I went to my wife's reunion Saturday, 40th reunion. And we sat at a table with a couple, and they had a boy, which I thought was a boy. He was 22, but he was in a wheelchair, didn't move. Found out later he had ALS, born with ALS.
Oh, wow.
Found out the couple there adopted him at 6 months old, knowing he was going to be in a wheelchair the rest of his life. And they loved on him like there was no tomorrow, as much as they could. And I told my wife going home, I says, we got to stop complaining, because that lady deserves to be on the ABC News. Because that's the stories we need to hear. So we got to be aware of them. I think everybody's doing it, but they're not. It's not happening everywhere.
No, no. And it reminds me of, I said to my mom, I think it was probably during the height of the pandemic. I said to my mom, like, I'm so tired of listening to the news. Like, there's never anything good. We need to have a show that's just only the good points, the highlights, the happiness, the joyful moments, and none of the negativity.
Love it.
Yeah.
Let's start a TV show. We're
gonna let's do it. Let's do it.
It's problem is we couldn't get sponsors because it's why are we not doing it? I mean, I know a couple people that tried. I think they're still doing it, but it's we're just shock value right now. We just that's what sells, unfortunately. Yeah. It's been years. It's hard to change them.
Sadly. So yeah. Tell us about your workshop, your podcast workshop.
So when I started becoming successful and finding the secret sauce, not the Big Mac again, the secret sauce of podcasting, because there's four things I realized a year in. People, can they afford a podcast? Do they have time to do the podcast? How do you do the podcast? And how do I get guests? So the guest part's easy because I have 800 guests. So people come to my podcast, I get them guests all the time. Take care of that. Two, how to do it. I've got a playbook written out. How to do it. Get a podcast out in 20 minutes. Now, I've got my templates and all done. I had somebody do it. You could do it yourself. If you want to save money, you could do it all yourself. But, you know, the DIY, I show people how to do it. The time, I can literally put a podcast out in 20 minutes. And I do. I did one this morning. Every morning I do it, put a podcast that takes me more than that because it's got to populate the video and everything. But my actual work's about less than 20 minutes. So there's a time. If you don't have 20 minutes, you shouldn't do a podcast. And the money aspect, you literally can do this, audience. If you're thinking about doing a podcast, take your phone or your tablet and just start zooming on that. Take it, put your phone or using your Zoom, it's $16 a month, or use the free version, it's 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. You can actually do this free. Zoom on your computer, on your tablet, on your app, whatever. Invite people and just interview them for 10, 15, 20 minutes. You have a podcast.
Yeah.
You can design the template yourself on Canva. They have a free version. There is a free podcast. You don't want the bells and whistles? Yeah, you're bringing AI stuff like I do if you want. But you don't have to. Because, audience, here's the big thing about a podcast. And today, because you're a wonderful host, is content. It's all people care about. I don't care if it's Steve Ramone and I've got 18-inch arms and I'm huge, or the most beautiful woman in the world. Doesn't matter. That lasts very little. It's the content that's being voiced, the messaging that's being voiced, that's impacting you, or you can impact other people. Because I say at the end of every one of my podcasts, and you've probably heard this, is subscribe to my YouTube channel or any other podcast YouTube channel, because they're a gift. Because I've given podcast links out and said, listen to this. And they're like, oh my God, that changed my life. What did I do? Impact. We've talked about impact. My purpose is to impact people. Podcasts are a way to do that.
Right. What would you say to somebody who, like, they're thinking about starting a podcast, about honing in onto what they want to talk about? Because I think that's where a lot of people are like, oh, a podcast sounds like it'd be a really cool idea, but I don't know what to talk about.
This is the perfect podcast to ask that question. Purpose. What is your purpose? You want to save the whales dying in the Antarctic Ocean? Of course, I'm making it. Maybe, I don't know if they are. I hope not. They are. I love whales. Then that is your focus. Is it you're passionate about flowers and gardening? Because you want to pick something you're passionate about. If you're not passionate about that subject, you're not going to keep doing your podcast.
No, you're not going to last.
Me and you love our podcast because our purpose, your purpose and my purpose, is tied to our podcast. It's not going to resonate with everybody. Don't try to do a podcast so I get everybody to listen. Don't do
that. Yeah, that's impossible.
It's absolutely. You impact one person every show, you're successful. You impact one person every other show, you're doing great things. You impact somebody once every 12 shows, you're doing something. But you have to take action and record those to make the impact. Like I say in my podcast beginning, my monologue, here's your homework today, audience. And here's your homework today, audience, for Candace. Who are you going to serve today, and how are you going to serve yourself? If you can't serve yourself, you can't serve others. But the key word is today. I'm hoping people listening, if you're listening, go out and serve somebody and reach out to Candace and say, hey, I was on the podcast and I went to the soup kitchen. Or I helped a lady put her groceries in her car. Or I just smiled and said, that's a beautiful bow on that baby. A small act of kindness can make a huge difference.
My gosh, so well said. And such an important message. I think that was, like, that really wrapped up that part of our conversation. Is there anything that we haven't chatted about that you would like to share?
Want to have a tip?
Yes.
Audience, I don't care what you do, personal or professional, get better 1% every day. Energy and momentum every day. Doing something that moves the needle. It may be a little, a lot, but don't try to do 100% in a week. I met a guy, he's doing 1 million a year. He goes, I want to go to 100 million a year in 3 months. What? You want to increase from 1 million to 100 million? And you're talking to people that are broke? Let's run those numbers. It's not going to work. Hey, have that long-term goal. I'm not saying stop the goal, but he needs to do something every day. In our business, me and my partner, Max Lambright, love him to death. He's always talking about what momentum do we have today? What we do to move the needle? What energy do we do? Did I talk to somebody? Did I reach out with an email? Did I do a better podcast? Whatever it is, anything that moves the wheel going, because we got to push the rock up the hill, it needs momentum. And even when the rock's going down the hill and your business and book is rocking and rolling, still got to give it a little push.
Yeah.
You always got to give it momentum. So if you do that, wins are going to happen. Don't worry about if you haven't had a win in a week or a month or 6 months. You got to keep moving, because that's when we start. Oh, I've done 10 podcasts. I've got no viewers. I've got no sponsors. My podcast, which, by the way, 90% of people are quitting at 10 episodes.
Yes, I've heard that too. I think consistency is definitely key.
Yeah.
You have to decide, you know, how often you want to have an episode. Is it going to be every week? Is it going to be every other week? But there has to be some kind of consistency to it. Yeah. And yeah, just know that it's going to take time to build an audience. It's not going to happen overnight.
And I don't really care about the numbers. I look at them, I've got over 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. Very happy I'm impacting that many people. But if it dropped down to 9,000, well, I've lost 1,000 over 6 months. didn't stop me from not doing it. Mm-hmm. I was a little upset because I'm impacting less people, but I now it's back up to over way over 10,000, almost 10,100. But I'm more important about who am I impacting.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping on, being the best host, like you are today, to impact people. That's all. That's what we have control. I read a book called The Daily Stoic.
Mm-hmm. I know that book. I have that book.
Yeah, beautiful. It's and one of the things it talks about Stoicism, the philosophy, is control what you can control. And that's doing that with good recording. Yeah, you can hire somebody to give you subscribers, and that's great. If you've got the money to do it, I'm never saying not to do it, but don't bankrupt yourself doing that. Because again, it's the bottom line is what impact are you making?
Right. I love this conversation, Steve. I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours. What's the best way for our listeners to connect with you?
Reach out to me via email, steveR1961@gmail.com. Again, Steve, the letter R1961@gmail.com. I get you set up. I do a free business mentoring class every other Monday. I do my podcast workshop, Doing Business with a Servant's Heart. You just search that. You'll find the podcast. And, you know, I'd love for you to listen to Alfonso and Serena and many other people. They have inspiring stories. And I'm here to help you. So just reach out.
And we'll make sure that all the links are in the show notes so that our listeners can find you easily. Okay, you can't go just yet. I have to ask you the three Ps. Okay, the first one is, what is something you're passionate about that people might not know about you?
I love cooking. My wife's a fantastic cook. So she loves for us cooking together. So that's something I've become passionate. I love watching Guy Fieri. People say I look like him. I don't know where I come from.
Oh, I can see that a little bit. I can see that. Yeah.
So, and I love the guy. So it's a compliment. So yeah, cooking. And you said earlier, so eloquently, Candace, food and people, it's a great mix. It brings positive vibes.
So I have a question for you regarding this cooking now. Since you had the diabetes diagnosis, and since you've had to change your diet somewhat, are you finding it that you can be just as creative, or is it a little bit more challenging to because you're maybe avoiding some of the things that you really enjoyed eating?
Even more so. Like, I love brown sugar, oatmeal and brown sugar. Now I just use Trulia, which is, stevia. Yeah, I think it's stevia sugar, which mm-hmm. doesn't boost your insulin. So I can have that, and it tastes the same. You become more creative. And I eat gluten-free bread. People are like, my wife's like, Ezekiel bread. I have it all the time. I just had this today for lunch. Tastes great, especially when you put all that good meat and lettuce and onions and the different stuff that you put on, which I need to do more of. Yeah, that's a great question. It's you can be, and my podcast guest, Eric Collette, has a whole recipes of stuff to help me, and I borrow from him. So I borrow from a lot of people as well. So it makes it easier.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, the second one is, what is your definition of purpose?
Something that gets you out of bed and makes you smile and wants you to move forward. And when you think about it and when you act on it, it makes you feel good. I think it's medicine for feeling good. I think it's the feel-good medicine. Because I would never be a plumber. If I was a plumber, here's a perfect example. And I woke up this morning, I know I had to do four jobs, plumbing jobs. I would not be happy. I do it because maybe I needed the money. That's what I've learned to do. But I'm not passionate, and that's not my purpose that mm-hmm. I love. I mean, people out there, I talk to a guy, my buddy golfs like five times a week. He loves golf. That's his purpose. It's his enjoyment. Purpose doesn't have to be a money-making thing. It's what brings the best out of you. I just thought about that. That is
love
exactly.
That.
I do too. Make sure you send that. Remember that, because it does. I've found, because look what's happening with me serving my purpose. I can show you testimonials and people coming back, and I jump on calls. I'm blessed. God has blessed me more than I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. I love this. Okay, there's one more, and that is, is there a possibility, a dream, or vision you have for the future?
Yes, I do not like flying commercial. I want to have my own jet so I can fly around and speak to people for free to impact them.
Wow.
So to make my life a little easier and being able to want to go out, because I'm not like flying. I'm not scared of flying, but it's just all the hassle. My business partner was stuck on the tarmac for an hour waiting to get off his plane. That doesn't make me happy. So that would be that. The other thing I really like to do, I haven't talked about this in a while, is I want to launch a nonprofit for kids. I don't have kids myself. My wife has 4 kids. That's the journey I live. So I want to impact children by high-fiving them. I do tricks with them and have fun with them because they're God's children, and I want to help all of God's children. And this would be a nonprofit where I take little Joey, and he says, I want to go meet Tom Brady. And I set up a trip where he can spend a few hours with Tom Brady, Seth Curry, Patrick Mahomes. Maybe it's a local athlete that's his favorite. That's my, I'm so passionate about this. I love sports. That's another passion. My wife's like crazy. Oh, you're watching all these games. I love sports. Just me, I grew up with it. But because I don't have kids, it's my way to God to be able to impact other kids.
Oh my gosh, Steve. I love that.
Make me cry.
You have to do that. You have to do that.
I do.
And then
you
have to come back and be on the podcast and talk about it. And so we could get, because nonprofits, they need exposure and help and fundraising and all the things, right?
You have a deal. I will definitely do that.
Yes.
I would be honored to.
Oh, Steve, cannot thank you enough. Thank you so much for being a guest and sharing all your wisdom.
Thank you very much.